So guess what book we're going to be learning out of today?
Proverbs.
You guys are smart. How'd you know that? You're mind readers? Proverbs. What topic you want to talk about today from Proverbs? You got a whole book now. All kind of stuff in there. What topic you want to talk about? Well, he don't cover that too much, except for the fact that he deserves for us to get some sense and listen to Proverbs. But believe it or not, he still wants to talk about your business and your finances. He still wants to talk about your money. How you like him being all up in your business? But just in case you don't get it twisted and you start thinking that God is preoccupied with money, because he's clearly not. What he is preoccupied with, what he's interested in, is your and my character, which results in what happens with your money. So just in case we get it mixed up and think that he's all, you know, money answereth all things and God's all about money, because some folks can use that, right, to start some crazy, stilted money ministry that mostly takes care of them, by the way. It mostly enriches them, to be honest. That's not what God is focused on. He's talking about our character, which leads to good or bad. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what he wants to talk about. But if we end up broke and dusted, busted, and disgusted, does that help us? Is that a good thing? Does it help those that depend on you? You end up broke. Does that help anybody that's depending on you? So it doesn't help you. Doesn't help anybody that's dependent on you. We'd be all sanctified, wear no makeup, be all holy. But if we end up broke, does that help God? Does it make him look better? Did you put you in a better position to help people?
No.
He's not preoccupied with money. He's preoccupied with you and your character, me and my character. And that leads directly to what happens with your money. When your money gets funny, how often is it you that created that? How often? How often? Yeah, you got people who get diseases and don't have insurance and they're blown away. Gotta file bankruptcy. We will file bankruptcy and go to the same vomit we left. You will file bankruptcy and go to the same habits. Basically, get out of jail free card and go back to doing the deed that got us in jail in the first place. So why does he repeatedly bring up money in the book of Proverbs? Because he knows we need it. But it ain't about the money. It's about the character. It's not about the money. It's about what?
Character.
So God cares about character. Wow, isn't that something? He seems to care about it a lot. So it's all about God, right? It's all about what God deserves, right? You know what he deserves? He deserves us to slap ourselves around a little bit and get right, church, so we could do his work here and then we can go home. That means getting yourself together, fixing your character, making the right decisions in the difficult moments. The right decisions. Not having people that have to call you out on your stuff. Check yourself before somebody else has to check you or before you wreck yourself, all right?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Now, as we get ready to look more at Proverbs, and we will, here's what I need you to do. And this is true with any of Proverbs, but in particular, this topic of money or finances and that sort of thing, here's what you have to do in order to really get what you need out of it. You got to strip away all of our modern society niceties. You've got to strip away all of the safety net stuff that you take for granted in the United States of America in 2000. And what year is it?
18.
I never have to write it down, so sometimes I forget. You've got to strip all that away. As a matter of fact, you need to think of this as if you are the head of the household. You need to think of everything that he talks to you about in terms of finances as if everything depends on you, as if the family's dependent on you. So ain't no family, listen to me now, to fall back on. Ain't nobody to clean up your mess. Ain't nobody to cushion your fall. If you think like that, which is more like what it was then, with no Social Security, with no AFDC, and we're talking about the head of the household. If you did not have your stuff together, you ended up a bond servant, a slave. So everybody knew you were busted. No hiding it. With no credit cards to live off of while you're looking good, but you're not so good. So when you are the head of the livelihood, there is nobody to cushion your blow. No, you just take a bunch of folks with you. Our blows, our falls are cushioned often by those who love us and sometimes enable us. Tell me anybody that's just living off of somebody that is the best that they can be. They may be on their way, pit stopping. But the point is, you will never get what you should from Proverbs if you take it in light of all of the things that cushion our blows. He's telling you you're going to end up in ruin if you don't do this or that. You don't know ruin, so you don't really listen. You don't believe fat meat is greasy because folks and life and society in the United States of America and family have allowed your fat meat not to be greasy. They absorb the blow for you. As long as you're thinking through the mindset of somebody else absorbing your blow for you or softening it, you will not listen to the prophet. You won't do it because it ain't no big deal. I got, like the song said, I got family when I fall to pick me up. That's all true. But when you got that and you have that in your mind, how are you going to do stuff you shouldn't do? You're not going to listen. The Proverbs, because it don't really apply to you. Not really. So this is extremely important. If you're not looking at it with this mindset, if you think somebody else is going to clean up your mistake, somebody's going to cushion your blow, then you're not going to really listen. It don't really apply. You know, matter of fact, if that's how you're going to live, you don't need to listen. You can mess up all you want. Somebody else is going to pick it up. Somebody else is going to fork over the end. Somebody else is going to pay the bills. Somebody else is going to bail you out. Somebody else is going to take you in. Somebody else is going to, you really don't have to step up. You don't have to. It's optional. This book, it can't help you. Proverbs is not for you. As long as handling your business is optional. Now, there's some things you can't get around. If it tells you not to be enticed by the woman and her batting eyes and all her beautifulness and all that sort of stuff because she ain't yours, stay away from her. Well, you can get some stuff that you can't get out of, that your family can't deliver you from. You can catch some stuff. See? So I'm just trying to get your mind right for Proverbs, particularly when it's talking about money. Because when money problems come, There's ways out. There's people who can cushion the blow. There's people who can clean up our mess. There's people who can make it not what the Bible said. It was like, oh, Bible said if I don't do this, I'll be jacked up. Not me. So you're not going to get it. If you don't view consequences for your actions. My children will tell you, I love them dearly. We'll teach them and teach them and teach them and preach to them and nag to them about certain things. Mom nags about the rest. There's a couple things I nag about. But then when if they insist on doing otherwise, I'm not going to clean up that whole mess. I was taught better. I know what love looks like. And it doesn't look like enablement, I can tell you that. If you're enabling somebody, you don't really love them. You love you. You love how you feel if you don't give them everything or what it's going to look like to society. That's who you're loving. You don't love that person if you don't give them the opportunity to be the best they can be, to stand on their feet, to use what God gave them instead of what God gave you. Talk about what love looks like. Proverbs is trying to tell us that stuff. And I'm just trying to get you in the right mindset so that we can really absorb what he's trying to say. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Does that mean we can't help each other? Is that what Pastor's saying?
No.
No. But you need to have your act together if you got a little something so you know how far to go, because you can go too far. You can give too much. You can give too often. You can make it too easy. Man, we're going to get to, I don't know when we're going to finish Proverbs, but we need to cover that if we haven't already. I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did cover that. Hallelujah. Amen. Stepping on any toes yet? Any ouches? It's not easy if you're a child of God, if you love God, if you have compassion. Let me just tell you something. The easiest thing to do is to bail the person out. You are being the best that you can be when you don't solve the whole problem. Do you know the burden that one who does that right thing feels? If they have a heart for people, the harder thing to do is to let them get some bumps and bruises. But that's what love looks like. That is what love looks like. Hallelujah. When we are enabling, you want to think real hard about who you're thinking about. An enabler doesn't enable for the other person. They do it for themselves. They do it to fill the gap, the weakness they have, the image they want to portray. They do it out of guilt. That's not the best. Do we have our minds right now? Are we ready to hear what Proverbs has to say? And we're going to talk about money. Let's go to our text. It is Proverbs, I think it's 28, verses 19 through 22. Proverbs 28, verses 19 through 22. Now, I had a little wrestling match with God. You know, I try to be obedient. That's one of the things I think I do well. But I wrestled with him a little bit on this. I said, man, we're going to talk about money again? Wow, I passed up in my evaluation as I go to God and I go to the Word. There's some good old stuff to me, at least. Good old stuff. Man, you know, I bypassed this thing about laziness that slices and dices laziness like in every which way you got no way out. Man, I said, God, we can't talk about that. And then I went across this thing and said, it talked about, it's better to live on the rooftop in the corner somewhere than to live in a big old place with a brawling woman. I said, oh, well, if I teach that, the women will think I'm mad at them. That verse is about the value of peace. Proverbs chose to tell you how important peace is. And you could just live in a bread box and not go marry that woman that you shouldn't marry, and then you won't have to brawl with her. Proverbs tries to told you that. But, yeah, we don't necessarily always listen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we're at 28 and 19. I hope that what you're hearing in these words is love. With passion, no doubt. But this is what love looks like. Now, we're looking from 19 to 22. Do me a favor, and I want you to all read verse 19 for me. Let's read the rest of it. Keep on reading all the way through 22.
A faithful man shall abound with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
He that hates to be rich shall not be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
To have respect of persons is not good.
Mm-hmm.
For a piece of bread that man will transgress.
Yes. Okay, so much for the prosperity ministry. Mm-hmm. So he says in verse 19, he that tilleth his land. You got any land to till? You got any farming land? You go to the grocery store, don't you? So when he says, he that tilleth his land, you got to have land first to till. Right? What does that mean for us? What's our version of that? Speak up. First things first. I got you. First things first. In this particular case, that's right. It's your job. He that tilleth his land. Now, if you got land, remember, we just learned. We learned a while back. I was walking by the house of a man, and his stuff was just as raggedy. There were weeds everywhere. Right? He had land to till, didn't he? He didn't till the land. Why didn't he till the land? Because just a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. He realized, that didn't get like that overnight. It was one excuse after another excuse after another procrastination. Your yard can't get all messed up overnight. You can't say it was just that one thing that got in your way. You made that same thing over and over and over again. So we're talking about basically what God says in all these examples is God gives you what you need. What you doing with it? So our version of tilling the land is going to our what? J-O-B. And you can't just till the land any old way. If you till the land like this in figure of eights, it's not going to work out. You got to do it the way it's supposed to be done. You got to do it in a way that's productive. Now, why does he have to tell us this? Woo! Why does he have to tell us? So tilling the land means using and working with what God has given you. He's given you what? He's given you able body, right? You're able-bodied. All of us here are able-bodied. And he's given you a job. And ain't nobody that has to be unemployed. We may get picky. But he says, till your land. And what will happen if you till your land? You will have plenty of bread. Now, what's the bread? That's all of your needs. You will have money, whatever it is, to meet all of your needs if you till your land. Now, why you got to tell folk that? Because they will not till the land, they will not handle it, and they will wonder, how did those weeds get there? Why I have no crop? We do it all the time. How come I can't? What you been doing the last year? Somebody else is working two jobs. You working one, going to Vegas and being broke. It makes no sense. Somebody's working two jobs. You working one, complaining about it, going to Vegas and being in a broke. Come on now, that's the equation. It happens every day. In a congregation this big, I'm not saying it's us, the chances are you're talking about a third of the people are living that. Easily. So he's got to tell us, could you till your land? I gave you some land. Could you just till the land? It's a shame he has to tell us that. Isn't that amazing? Use what God gave you, right? Use what he blessed you with. And you will have plenty of bread. You will have all your needs met. And he gave us 24 hours. If you work one job and 8 hours, it ain't enough. He gave you 24 hours. What you doing with the rest of them hours? If you ain't in school like Michelle was, you got 4 more hours. You can go work somewhere else. If nobody's going to bail you out, if you got nobody enabling you, guess what you do? You do what you do. My land ain't enough. Can I take a little section of your land and work it, and I'll take a little bit of the food and give you the rest? I know it's your land, so you ain't got to pay me that much, but I need a little extra because my land at the moment isn't enough. I'm going to till it to death. I'm going to till it. I'm going to work what I got. If nobody's bailing you out, you think differently. You make decisions differently. Are you with me so far? Amen. So if you till the land, you'll be fine. And if your land ain't enough that God gave you, go to somebody else humbly and say, can I work your land a little bit? Because mine ain't enough. Until God blesses me with a bigger plot of land. Instead of saying, oh, well, throw your hands up, and your land ain't even get tilled. It's got weeds everywhere because it ain't enough. Then, oh, well, I'll just drive up the credit cards. I may as well. Mortgage my land. It's all paid off, but I'm going to mortgage it. He He says, you'll have plenty if you do that. But there's always a but. But he who follows after vain persons will have what?
Poverty.
Poverty enough. Now, the translators chose that word enough. I have no idea why. It was one of the choices. It was the wrong choice. It is what it is. He actually, in this particular section, meant to do a play on words. If you actually look at what it really means and what word they were supposed to use, he that tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he that goes after these vain persons will have plenty of poverty. He was playing on words. And it's not really going after vain persons, by the way. Those words can get us caught up. We start thinking what he's really saying is following after somebody else, follow the leader. No, it could be a person. What it is he that tills the land, he that grinds it out, he that handles his business when it's not convenient and it's not glamorous and it's just punching that clock, handling that business, using what God gave you, he's going to have plenty. But here's this other knucklehead. What he does is he chases after empty, fruitless, profitless things, adventures, endeavors. Because it looks better than the guy who's just grinding it out. Handling that business, showing up on time. 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 Handling that business. Being the one that folks say that one handles their business. No, you got the other one. He's always got a scam and a scheme. He's always got some thing. He's always got some empty thing he's chasing. Instead of having that nose to the grindstone. This is what he's doing. So it's not chasing after people. Sometimes it is people. But what he's saying is the person who handles his business will have plenty, but the other guy who's chasing empty stuff, he's going to be poor. Instead of plenty of bread, you're going to have plenty of poverty. He's trying to teach you something. He's going to say it every which way until it hits you. That's a contrast. He does that a lot. Contrasting. Are you hearing me? Too often, we don't want to work hard. This is what he's talking about. Tilling the land, you think that's easy? No, it's not easy. We don't want to till no land. No, not at all. We want to pursue after those unprofitable, empty, sometimes, by the way, unethical endeavors and activities. Amen? In order to meet our needs. And we got justifications. Oh, yeah, I need money. Yeah, of course we all do. Money answers all things. So instead of plenty of bread, you will have plenty of poverty. Is that point well made? Okay, so let's go to verse 20. Now, here's what we learn. After we already learned, if you till the land, you'll be fine. If you don't, you go chasing after those other things. You're going to be having poverty. You're going to blame somebody else about the poverty. And really, the land was there. You weren't tilling it. And it's your fault, our fault. He goes on to say, a faithful man. By the way, of course, these verses make up a what? Bible studies makes up a segment. Meaning he's got our point, our topic. And he's going to use a few verses to give you a message, a learning on that topic. So verse 20, he says, a faithful man. Somebody say a faithful man.
Faithful man.
Mm-hmm. What's a faithful man? We know this. Come on. What's faithful mean?
Reliable.
Dependable, reliable, trustworthy. In this context, we need to add in there diligent, committed. So, dependable, reliable, trustworthy, diligent, committed. Does that sound like anybody you know? I pray that you got some people, at least one or two folks in your life that you could describe that way. If you were at their funeral, you could say, among other things, they were dependable, reliable, trustworthy, committed. Right?
Amen.
That's what I want people to be able to say about me, among other things. That's just what we should strive for. Hallelujah. So this hardworking individual who's diligent and reliable, what is he going to have? He's going to abound with blessings, right? He's going to have stuff because he's handling his or her business. And there's the contrast. But what? But he that maketh haste to be rich. So the one man is faithful. Faithful to what? Tilling his land. Isn't that amazing? We got all these Bible things in this day and age, all this church just telling you to get a job and go to work. Why somebody got to tell you to get a job and then go to work? Go to work! They're going to pay you. You got the best annuity plan ever. And you got jobs, like I said, that even when you don't go to work, I got a sniffle, they pay you anyway. Wasn't like that back here. They pay you anyway. You just get better. Come on back when you feel better. So we take mental health holidays, don't we? We owe that man our services. But, oh, we got too much stress. We got stuff going on that we usually created. Oh, I need a mental health holiday. It's too hard. The people got attitude at work. I can't. No, I'm taking a mental health holiday. Because I got it like that because you're going to pay me anyway. So I'll just steal from you. Character. If you think that way, let me just tell you, you're going to end up thinking that way the wrong time in some aspect of your life. Well, you're going to say, I'm going to get mine. I got this coming. It shows up. That character flaw shows up in your life. Well, they got deep pockets. This company got billions of dollars. They should be paying me anyway. Let me just tell you, if you think that way about the job, you're going to think that way about people in your life. Oh, they got it. Oh, they got it. So I can operate this way or that way because I know they got it. Character is what he's getting at. It ain't about the money. Whew, faithful man, one who's in there handling the business, or woman, will abound with blessings. But he that wants to get caught up in the get-rich-quick schemes, this other dude, or dudette, he doesn't want to work for anybody else. You know anybody like that? Hey, man, let me tell you, man, you don't got this old grind going. You're going to work every day. What's that done for you? Man, I got this thing. You could be rolling. You working for the man. You could work for yourself, man. And he's saying, check, you under me in the pyramid scheme. Ha! That's what he's thinking about. He's not thinking about you. We got doctors, by the way, here at Kaiser Permanente got caught up in pyramid schemes. The main person getting other people under them. So the guy who's grinding it out, who does the Bible glorify? Who does it put on a pedestal? The guy who grinds it out. We look at him like, that was my daddy's gig. I'm big time. That was my daddy punched the clock and he got the little pension. That's not good enough for me. I'm doing it big. I'm hanging out with my buddies. We got this thing going on. We're going to really be raking it in. We don't need to work for somebody else. Like that's a curse. Like that's a terrible thing. We got to work for somebody else. How about you get to work for somebody else? Now, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you smart like that, you start something and make the world better through it. But until and unless you got it like that, how about you be happy about punching that clock and get paying that annuity and you get paid when you don't show up? You got to have a proverb to tell us that. This ought to make you value those men and women that came before us who went to work and went to work and went to work and got a great reputation by doing so. And earn what they can in their later years enjoy. You ought to emulate them. That's who you ought to want to be. Instead of wanting to be these people who are slinging money on TV and catching touchdowns, and that's who we want to be like. We have these wonderful examples in our lives, and we're not good enough. We want to chase after the empty stuff. We don't want to work for nobody else. We want ours and we want our pie in the sky now. I want it now. I don't want to wait till later. I want it now. This is what he's contrasting. That guy who wants it now, you might find one at the top of the pyramid. You might find one that made it to the NBA. You might find one that went to the NFL. And then, of course, the single mama always. Glorifying that. Glorifying the fact that daddy wasn't around. How about we talk about why he ain't around? Just tell the whole story. But no, we don't want to do that. Guess what? Do you know how many of us ruin our children focusing on them in their younger age as if they're going to the NBA and the NFL? That person on TV, that ain't you. Don't bet on that. Don't roll them dice. Kurt Warner became this amazing guy. He's on the NFL Network. But you know what? When he wasn't in the NFL, what was he doing? He was stocking groceries, handling that business. God chose to use him in this other way in his time. The point is, punching that clock, handling that work, the fact that you get to do that leads to blessing. But we don't want to work for nobody, and we want ours quickly. What does he say about that second knucklehead person? They end up in the po house. But, of course, you get tantalized by the one who doesn't end up in the poorhouse. And everybody's chasing that dream. And he's saying, I gave you some land. Could you just till the land that I gave you? The deacon said he liked this money talk, so hey, let's just keep on with it. How about that? Woo, man, don't be this other guy. Don't be the guy that gets caught up in the scam, artistry, the pyramid schemes, the multi-level marketing stuff. Them folks see you a mile away. They see you coming. They see you coming. They know that you got little man syndrome. You don't think you are anything. The devil lets you believe that because you're punching a clock and you're not the boss yet, that you're not doing anything important. You're not doing anything meaningful. And it can cause you, listen to me now, to not value the men, especially men, in your life that you should. You can start to think that they're smaller when you're standing on the shoulder of giants. But we don't call them giants. We don't think of them as giants. It's not good enough for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's move on to verse 21. Now that we know what chasing after all that emptiness leads to. It can be fun for a minute, by the way. Verse 21, he says, to have respect of persons is not good. Because 4:4 doesn't sound so good. Because for a piece of bread that man will transgress. That's very hard to understand. That's very difficult because it makes it seem like it's the other guy that will transgress for a piece of bread. And he actually is talking about you. Okay? It makes it sound a certain way. Your character, here's what he's saying. You are the judge, okay? You are the judge in the court. You have the final word. People are going to come before you. What kind of character do you bring to your judgeship? Do you bring objectivity? Do you take the case only on its merits? Or do you judge whether he or she has a suit on? Do you judge whether he or she is black or not? Do you judge whether he or she has money? Do you judge whether he or she has a reputation or fame? Do you judge them based on what they can do for you? Do you have respect of persons? Are you going to be biased based on what you see or what they have? Are you going to judge differently based on who's sitting in the defendant's seat? Do you bring that character, here's the point, to your life situations? Do you bring that character? He's saying, if you bring that character, you're going to be easy pickings. Bring solid, ethical, godly, honest, objective character to your life situations. If you do that, you won't be picked off so easily. I want to make an honest living. I want to make a good living. I want to make a solid living. I want to make a secure living. I want to make a living where I get what I deserve and I deserve what I get. So therefore, when somebody tries to offer me something that's like a bribe, I'm not going to take it. I come to this thing, no, you can't bribe me. I know you're going to tell me you can get me tickets to the concert. I know you're going to tell me I can hang out with you because you're famous. I know you're going to tell me you can slip me a little something. But guess what? No, my character, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to judge this case on its merits. So he's saying that it's about your character. Because if you have the wrong kind of character, you can and will be bought. That's the point. Every judge has their price. Some judges don't need money. They just want to hang out with the mogul. So you see what I'm saying? What do you have for me? Maybe she's batting her eyes. If you let me off, woo-hoo! But if you come to that thing with character, knowing like the Bible studies are learning, that other woman, you got trouble coming. You better leave her alone. You better stick with the one that God gave you. Are you hearing me? Amen. This illustration uses judging objectively as the picture in a court of law. And the potential here is bribery. But in our context, if we are not completely committed to making a good, godly living the right way, somebody say the right way. Then it won't take much. If you're not committed, if you're not committed to living your life and making your bread the right way, you'll be easy pickings. Easy pickings for somebody that says, hey, I got this sneaky little thing on the tax thing. Hey, I got this thing on the side that is a little bit questionable, but nobody's going to know and we won't get caught. Hey, I got this easy way out. I got this thing where you can make money. You ain't got to work for nobody. How many times you been to watch TV and then you're going to be a real estate mogul? Oh, yeah. You're going to flip houses. You're going to buy with somebody else's money. And you're going to be rich, 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 rich. They all have a book and a program and a class, and they get paid, and you get a question mark. It's old news. This is not new. How do you get all those people? Because they're chasing the dollar now. What they got is not good enough. So what they do is they take the bread out of the field that God blessed them to till, and then they throw it away on that. And the Bible's been there all along, but we don't preach that stuff. So you're going to have this in your head. I don't care how old you are. As a matter of fact, if you watch the Greed program on, I think it's MSNBC or whatever it is, or CNBC, guess what? The people who should have the most wisdom get sucked in the most. They take all the stuff that they've been tilling the land and they finally got it and they throw it into some shyster's hands and then they're broke. I watched one the other night. There's a bunch of women. This black guy in Arizona, Scottsdale, just ripped them all off. They were all given to their boyfriend. If somebody gives you, listen to me now, if somebody, I don't care if it's Bernie Madoff, remember what he was selling. He wasn't selling money. He was selling exclusivity. Oh, I don't let everybody in on this. You special. People who have money, they still little on the inside. And I'll guarantee you, all these other things, up and down, probably 20% guarantee. 20% on paper. 20%. 20%. It was a pyramid scheme. It was a fake scam. But it looked good. Are you hearing what the Bible's trying to tell us? Chasing this stuff is not the right thing. We have to be committed to doing the right way or you will be sucked in. I'm just telling you, ain't no what, maybe you will. You'll be sucked in. It won't take much is what he's trying to say. If you don't have your commitment where it should be, it's going to happen. It won't take much. For a piece of bread, you'll transgress. That's the point. For a little of nothing, you'll fall off the wagon. We're almost there. Verse 22. He brings it all home by saying, he that hastes to be rich, get rich quick schemes, does he like them? He has an evil eye and does not consider, does not realize, does not understand, does not know that poverty is going to fall upon him. Let me tell you what this evil eye means. The commentators are all over the place with this thing. It means you're looking at somebody else's stuff and envying them. coveting what they have. One of the main reasons that we get sucked into this mess is because we want something before we can have it, before we're supposed to have it. And why do we want it? It's not because we woke up one day and we just needed that thing. Somebody else has that thing. And you're comparing yourself. And you're trying to make up the ground. Oh, they're way ahead of me, so I got to make up the ground real fast. And we've always learned the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise always wins. But we don't believe that. We forget that. So people dangle stuff. Somebody else out there has got it all. And so we sell our soul for it. Coveting and chasing the ghost of the quick wealth. It's a shame, but it's true. Amen? Focusing on having what somebody else has, and it leads to financial ruin. This is what he keeps saying over and over again. Now, I'm not the one that sets the agenda. God does, so somebody needs to hear this. And I'm just grateful to God for giving me a chance to be obedient. Amen. Let's give him a hand.